Well, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Man, that's what I love. We will rejoice in today. And I love the songs that we sang today. Just so many things they talked about. And they talked about the last one, Never Letting Go. And we're going to talk about that as we begin a new series. And a new series is called Improving Your Posture. Oh my, what does that mean? Man, that's kind of crazy. Well, the last several weeks, or last couple weeks, we talked about the little story. And we talked about praying. We're all praying, possibly, for the same thing, but who's out there preparing their field? Everybody remember that? Both farmers want rain, and we both go out and pray for the rain, but only one prepared his field for the rain. Who is God going to send the rain to? And so we have to remember those things, and as we get ready for that stuff, we want to talk about improving our posture, and we're going to be talking about this over the next several weeks. So I want everyone to do me a favor. Just lean forward in your chair, if you would. Everyone lean forward in your chair. Okay, now look around. Now, as we do the next thing, I want you to look around as we all sit back in our chair. Sit back, look around. That kind of looked kind of crazy, didn't it? Well, what is all that about? We're going to be looking at that. Our posture, that all look like an outward act, correct? Lean forward, we look, we sit upright, and we sit up straight, and we pull our shoulders back and do those things. That appears to be an outward act. But as we're going to discover over the next several weeks, it's really all about what we're doing on the inside. And God talks about in His Word about what we look like on the outside. And we're concerned about what we look like on the outside and what we're going to do on the inside. Because that's where the difference is. And that's where the difference is made. What we do on the inside and how we do it. We're going to be looking at prayer in the next couple weeks. We're going to be looking at doctrine. That means what about studying God's Word? We've talked about it. We've talked about it. We've looked at different aspects. We're going to start preparing our field for the increase and for the harvest. Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to look at worship. We're going to look at giving. I'm not going to tell you in what order because I don't want you to think worship, that means more songs, maybe louder. I don't know. I'm going to skip that week. Giving, that means just money. So I'm going to skip that week and I don't have to worry about it and feel condemned or cursed or whatever. I'm not going to tell you what order we're going to do those things in, but we're going to look at those things over the next several weeks and those areas of improving our posture. All of these areas relate to our relationship with God. How we give, how we worship, how we pray, how we study God's Word. All these things relate to our relationship with God. Does everyone understand that? How we participate in these things and how much effort we put in these things and these areas relate directly to our relationship with God. Not a good relationship with God, we may not pray well. We may not know how to pray to Him or speak to Him. We may not know how to worship Him. We may not know what giving is all about. And we're going to talk about that. We have a lot of opportunity to talk about all those things and how they relate and how they connect to one another, how they connect to the world outside, how they connect to the world inside. All these different things connect to each other and relate. An outward act. We just did an outward act, it looked like. Lean forward, correct? Everyone would probably agree with that. We're going to discover these things. On the outside, what can we change to be better? We can change our hair. We could add hair. We can snap it on, glue it on, surgically implant it on. We can shave it off. We can color it. We can curl it. We can straighten it. Our hair, we can change our hair. We can add glasses, we can take away glasses. I can wear little wireframe glasses. I can wear big, fat, black rim glasses. I can wear crazy round ones, make me look, I don't know what, like a spectacle, I guess. No pun intended. We can change those things. We can change our clothes. I'm going to go from wearing this to, hey, I'm going to preach in just jeans, the skinniest jeans I can get, and I'm going to wear the coolest jacket I can get, and I'm going to be that hip-hop pastor that's out there doing those things. We were talking about worship this morning. I said, good Lord, do we have to start wearing those funny stocking caps that are about this much too long and fall over to the side? I see different worship bands doing that, and they're up on stage with, I'm like, it's the middle of summer, and you're wearing a stocking cap that's twice too big for your head, flopping over to the side. Sometimes they're just, there's just all different styles. We can change the way we look on the outside. We can change the house we live in. I want others to think better of me. Let me buy a bigger house, a nicer house. We can change the cars we drive. Let me buy a nicer, fancier car. So people will think I'm successful. I will give off the impression of being this or that. We can change our boyfriends. I'm looking mostly at our young people that seems to have migrated over here. We can change our boyfriends. We can change our girlfriends. People that are married, we can change our spouses. We can change our jobs. But all those things happen on the outside, and if nothing happens on the inside, we don't change anything. If we don't change our heart and our mind, all that stuff is just external. And we go from job to job and spouse to spouse thinking, I don't understand what's wrong. We've changed so many things on the outside, but nothing has changed on the inside. Nothing. I've interviewed people before. My Lord, it looks like you have an awful lot of experience. That's another way of saying you've had a lot of jobs. This one, you were there 2 months, 3 months, 1 month. What happened? And usually, in those multiple relationships and the multiple jobs, it becomes a they. Well, they wouldn't let me. Well, they always did this. Well, they didn't give. They. And then what I heard a lot of times was, they screwed me over. I'm tired of it. I'm sorry, that's just the way they say it. They screwed me over again. And I'm not going to put up with that. Really? Okay, didn't give you that $25 an hour you wanted to go make a burger or something? I don't know. But it becomes about they. They wanted, they wouldn't do these things. And who had that same thing? The Pharisees, right? They adorned themselves on the outside looking great, looking very religious. I don't know how that looks. But looking very religious. And Jesus came in and said, man, it's all about the outside with you, but nothing on the inside is right. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. Changing our behavior. And don't worry, I'm getting to the Bible in just a minute. But I've got to introduce, as we get into this new series, Improving Your Posture, we have to understand why and what it's about. And changing behavior and changing our patterns, changing our habits, our bad habits, that's a tough thing to do. That is a tough thing to do, right? I like that. Thank you. It is. I can get an amen over there. Most people, listen carefully to this. Most people can't overcome breaking through that barrier. And it's not because they set their goal too high and never reach it. It's because they set their goal too low and they do reach it. Did you get that? We don't break through because it's not because we set our goal too high and we never reach it. But we set it way down here and we reach it. And then we never come back and raise it up. It's the limbo game. Let's see how low we can set our standard. Oh, it's getting lower. I can meet that one. But we never raise the bar. And we never get above that stuff. And we have to push past those things. We have to push past our barriers. We may know them from the Bible as stumbling blocks. God's Word tells us throughout that. Remove stumbling blocks. Do not be a stumbling block. Do not put a stumbling block in somebody's path. I read a story about these mountain bikers. There were trails they can go through, and they kept having to clear a path. Kept having to go back through and clear a path. Someone said, this isn't right. These limbs didn't just happen to fall across our bike path every week. That just doesn't happen. So they set up a camera in the woods, and they saw a lady coming through there walking her dog. And every day she would drag sticks and limbs and branches out and put them across that path. And they finally took that footage to the police. They arrested the lady. And she said, I was tired of the bicyclists riding their bikes on my path, even though it was a bicycle and footpath. But because she didn't like it, she put stumbling blocks in people's way. And God's Word tells us we don't want to do that. We want to remove them, and we don't want to be one, and we don't want to put it in their place. We have to push past those things. What's the number one barrier to breaking through? Usually, the first one is fear. Usually, it's fear. Now listen carefully. I know this doesn't include any of us, but it's fear of I'm not too good. I'm not good looking enough to do this or that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not rich enough. I don't have any business background. I could never have my own business. I can't do these things. And then usually right around second or third place is idols. Our idols get in our way of us doing things and becoming things because we can't get past the idols. And then again, bouncing back and forth between second and third place, the justification. The justification that says, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I don't know enough about the Bible to teach anyone about it. I don't have enough money to fund a new wing on the Prayer of Faith 20-wing church. Well, it's a good thing we don't have a 20-wing church. We don't have to worry about that. But we're going to prepare the field for an increase someday. And we say, I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not this, and I don't have that. And it's enough. It's enough. I'm here today to tell you, or rather to proclaim to you, that not needs to get out of that. We talked last week about tomorrow being a disease of the enemy. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The only way to change and improve your posture is to step up and raise your standard. We have to take that low bar we set, and we have to get above that. We sing a song called Relentless. And in our pursuit of excellence, we have to be relentless. In our pursuit of more, we have to be relentless. We have to find the power and the strength to keep pushing on. And we sang a song today, Never Let Go. Because He never lets go of us. We never let go. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we've been through. And I know a lot of you have been through stuff, and you are going through stuff. And He says, man, I'm still here, and I'm still sitting on the throne today, no matter what you're going through. I'm still here. And by the way, I'm still in control. And I know you're concerned about this situation, but you don't have to worry about it. Because I've got it. Remember, we read many stories, and Jesus said, this isn't about you. This is about my will. They're not doing it for you. They're doing it for me. I didn't come for you. I came for them. And Jesus tells people all through the Bible, it is my will, my Father's will, that will be done. This isn't about you. This is about me and come to do my work here on earth for my Father in heaven. The winner's quality, they call that, to endure and to push through. We read about that in the Bible about the runners, and we're going to read a little bit about that today. And I saw one video that called that the winner's quality, and I love that. To face trials again and again and again and again. I look at these crazy guys doing motorcycle flips. Not your kind. Motorcycle flips. Doing the crazy jumps where they're doing all these crazy things. They're flying off the seat and doing the Superman and all these things. And I think, my goodness, how do you do that? Well, you crash time and time and time again as you're trying to figure out how to rotate that bike completely. And you fail. But they don't look at it as failure. They look at it as another opportunity to get it right. And they push past that. And they push past people saying, you can't do this. By the way, you'll never get this. By the way, you're not good enough. Can't do that. You're not smart enough. You don't have anything but a third grade education. All those things that people that have been successful have pushed past and pushed through. And I promise you, I'm getting to God's Word in a minute here. Okay, but we have to talk and set the path up for improving our posture. And you can't just make those changes. When people make a big decision, say, I need to change, usually it doesn't happen from doing this little thing in a box. It comes from understanding where they are, where they need to be, how they got there, And so we've got to look at these things. We've got to look at what it takes in us to push past what's holding us back. It's tuning out the critics. Listen carefully. Both outside critics and inside critics, the ones in your head. We can be our own worst critic and our own worst enemy sometimes. We talk about the human spirit and how powerful that is. But that's got nothing on the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit can do things through God that the human spirit doesn't understand. God's Word tells us about that, as a matter of fact. It says the human spirit can't understand these things because they come from God. Romans 12:2 says, renew your mind daily. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our mind daily. 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 We have to pass failure daily. 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 Every day we have to get past these things. We should see all people differently. We should approach people differently. I want to say than the common man, than the unchristian. How's that? The non-Christian people. As Christians, we should see and approach people differently. We should see and approach problems differently, opportunities, work, relationships, giving. These things we should approach and see differently. When our effort to do, to be, to give is low, when our effort is low, I want us to think about when our effort's low, what is it that we're thinking that makes it low? And I want you to make a conscious effort to say, why is it that I'm not wanting to attend? Why is it that I'm not wanting to give? Why is it that I do not want to open this thing up and look at it and read it and understand it? So the next time your performance, your attendance, your giving, your work, your worship, next time those efforts are low, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? More than likely, what you're thinking about is the obligation and not the opportunity. Did you get that? When the effort is low, usually you are thinking about the obligation more than the opportunity. Here's giving time. There's my obligation. But we don't think about, we have the opportunity to better people's lives, to better the church, to outreach to other people. Oh, okay. Here's opportunity. We understand that a little differently. But no, we just started out with a little bitty obligation. Worship. The obligation is to come in, hopefully at 10:30, and sing. Your love, O Lord, is like a mighty mountain. We sing the song, I exalt thee. I exalt thee, I exalt thee. The effort's low. I get we don't feel good every day. I get we may not have the world's most beautiful voice. Says my wife. That was for her, not me. I get that. But this isn't about your voice. This is about giving effort to worship God. You're giving something to Him. And I cannot wait in a couple weeks or next week till we get to worship and prayer and those things that I will not tell you what we're doing in what order. But it's an opportunity to understand what God wants from us. So think about the opportunity you have next time your effort is low rather than the obligation you have. Praying for rain is the obligation. Preparing your field is what? The opportunity to have an increase and to have a crop and to have a harvest. Low effort versus high effort. Low expectation versus high expectation. Prepared field versus unprepared field. But I prayed. But what was the expectation? In 1 Samuel 7, Samuel spoke, and you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to say this real quick. But while I'm saying this, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, and we'll kick this thing off. I've got another 45 minutes left. Good deal. Just sit back, relax, peel a layer off if you're hot and sweaty. Matthew 23. And as you're turning there, in 1 Samuel 7, Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, and he told them, return to the Lord with all your heart. He didn't say return empty-handed. Return to the Lord with all your heart. Put away your idols and your foreign gods. And then he said, prepare your hearts. That's the biggest field you can prepare, is your heart. Prepare your hearts for the Lord. And, there was an and, serve Him only. Today, church, I tell you the same thing. Return to the Lord with all your heart. Put your idols away. Put your foreign gods away. Prepare your hearts for the Lord. Prepare your heart for the Lord. And serve Him only. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Verse 25 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Sounds pretty tough. You just worry about what the outside looks like. Kish, I believe, did a message at Ground Zero years ago, and there were some filthy cups in there. Filthy on the inside, but on the outside they look great. And if you're not looking from the top down, you can say, hey, this is a nice glass. I think I'll have a drink out of that. What in the world is that? And he says, you're just worried about the outside, but the inside of you is pretty filthy. And then he goes on in verse 27, and he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly. Listen carefully. But inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We don't want to represent the tomb that looks good on the outside and is empty on the inside, full of dead bones on the inside, and a dead heart and an unclean heart. We don't want to be that way. We've got to improve our posture. We've got to do that by improving our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it comes through worship and doctrine, studying His Word, and prayer. These things help improve and draw us closer to Him. His Word says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He says, flee from the enemy. Flip over to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 2. And that's where we'll do most of today's message. And I'm not preaching for another 45 minutes. If you're guests or visitors, don't panic and think, uh-oh, this is one of those long churches. Now, the good news is when I get into the following messages for improving our posture, I won't have that long intro about those things that affect it and impact it. Because I've already done it. So we can just move right into it. And everyone said amen. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Says, verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We have to endure. We talked about pushing past those barriers. And we have to come back again and again and again and again and overcome. And His Word says, we are overcomers. And we have a blessing for those that overcome. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Uh-oh, there's rules. Okay, when we study his word, we're going to learn there's rules out there that we have to follow. You don't get the crown unless you follow the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of change, but the word of God is not changed. There's freedom in that, amen? Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Again, we're talking about enduring. That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. We're going to finish up chapter 2 here. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we hear that a lot, but I want to read that again. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. We have to give our most to our work, if we work. To our spouse. To our co-workers. To our families. We cannot ignore our family and expect relationships to be great. We cannot give minimal effort at work and expect a maximum reward. Same thing at church. We cannot come and show up and say, I've done my part. God, I've prayed. What have you done to prepare yourself? What have you done to prepare your heart? The things we do at work or in the work that we do with our hands, with our mouth, all those things need to be approved. And we have to present ourselves. It said in verse 16, shun profane and idle babblings. Oh, mercy. People want to get us in the craziest disputes and arguments over nothing. I got a simple answer. Shun profane and idle babblings. Just excuse yourself out of that conversation. For they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Says Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So now as they're trying to spread the word of God, and they're trying to build the new churches, they've got some already off doing their own thing. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Uh-oh, he said, if you've called on Christ, it's time for you to depart from sin. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. Prepared for every good work. And we've talked about this verse before, that when we look at something, we think that's dirty and filthy, and that could never be clean. God says, man, I can clean that thing up. I can clean it up in a heartbeat, and guess what? That thing can be used as a vessel of honor for me. There was a guy out killing Christians. dragging them off to jail, men and women. You know, the Christians avoided him. We were talking about that in King's Kids on Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago. God says, guess what? This guy that's killing people that are spreading my word, I'm going to use him. So we have to be careful when we look at people, how we look at them. Can they be used? Can they be transformed? And by the way, if they can be transformed, can I help do it? My God, is this an opportunity rather than an obligation to speak to some stranger maybe? Maybe to help them? Could they see Christ Jesus in me? Oh, not by the way they heard me speak to so-and-so. Not by the way I treated them. I'm sorry, God. We look at people differently when we see there's opportunities to lead them to Christ. Because God did the same thing with Saul. Why are you persecuting me? Be careful how we look at things. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. For the master. The master can use them. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Here we go again, guys. Foolish and ignorant disputes. Avoid them. Don't start them. Don't participate in them. Knowing that they generate strife. Well, no kidding. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And a servant of the Lord, it says. Well, earlier we read about Samuel saying, hey, you need to return to the Lord with all your heart. You need to put away your idols and your foreign gods and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only. We're to do the same thing. We are to serve Him. So we are servants of the Lord. So that's addressing us right there. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they have come to their senses and escaped the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's an awful lot of stuff in there. But it tells us as servants to improve our posture. We're not to be in arguments and disputes. We're to be gentle, peaceful. We're to study His Word. Let me close with Luke chapter 9. Turn to Luke chapter 9 if you would, and we'll close today. Those that thought I was going on for 45 minutes will be very pleased. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It's familiar to most. We've talked about it often in here. But this is what we're talking about when we talk about improving your posture. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. And do what? Follow me. It's as simple as that. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. As we close in prayer today, here's all I want us to do. Simply as we bow our heads in prayer, if this message speaks to you that you say, I need to improve my posture. I've been doing a lot of things out of obligation, but I want to look at opportunity. I want to prepare my field. All I want you to do is stand up as we pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Stand up if this word is speaking to you today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come before you today. Lord, I ask for those people to stand today, that we can recognize them, that we can see opportunities here that they can do out of an act of obedience to you and an act of submission and surrender to you, not to me, Lord, but to you, just to respond to this message on improving your posture, improving our posture. God, we know we're a people that have strayed at times. We know that we are a people that need you. We know what we have to lose in our life to gain you. God, we're just looking for strength and endurance to do that, to make that act. God, we've talked about removing stumbling blocks, not being a stumbling block, and not putting them in other people's path. Help us this week, Lord, as we go out. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. And God, guide our words, our mouth that gets us in trouble so often, Lord. Help us shun the profane and idle babblings and avoid disputes. God, help us not to curse others, but to lift them up. Help us to see people as opportunities. Let us see them in a different way. God, help us start looking for ways to improve our posture. God, we ask these things in your Son's name.